By the time I got to 18, 19, I was 100% positive my body was the worst thing about me. I was so insecure, felt completely worthless, and really felt like I couldn't change it. Also, I felt like I didn't have the tools or the understanding on how to even fix that.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. Before you started adulting, were there things that you thought you just had to do once and then you were done with them forever? Like registering your car, putting batteries in the remote, buying spoons? Seriously, where do all the spoons go? I have bought so many spoons. Anyway, as I've gotten older and wiser, I've realized that there are so many things that aren't one and done, but that are ever present on life's to-do list. I'm looking at you, furnace filters. Well, today we're devoting this episode to yet another thing that requires constant upkeep, and that's a healthy body image. A few years ago, we did a whole body image series on The Lisa Show. We took a very deep dive, several episodes, all tackling body image from different angles and concerns with experts. We wrapped the series. We patted ourselves on the back thinking, well, we've polished off the topic. But literally the very next day, I woke up and thought of yet another body image angle that we hadn't covered. Body image isn't just an elephant in a single room. It is an elephant in every room. And it seems to be taking up more space than ever on freeway billboards, on social media feeds, in TV and movies, in store aisles, and even in our daily conversations. And it seems to transcend race, gender, economic situation. It's just something we all deal with. No matter which corner of the room we try to stand in, something still seems determined to make us look in the mirror and see something wanting. I've worked hard to silence the body image noise in my own head and in the heads of my kids. But sometimes it feels impossible to turn down the volume knob. When I feel that way, I always come back to a moment with my late husband, Christopher. When Christopher was newly in a wheelchair, we were sitting in church watching a baby get up and try to walk, fall over and try again and again. He leaned over to me at the beginning of a terminal illness that we knew would slowly take away his ability to use any of his muscles and said with wonder, not jealousy, "Look at that. What a miracle to be able to walk. I totally took that for granted until now. But now when I think of all the things that have to come together in order to even sit up, the muscles in your abdomen, the legs, the synapses in your brain to fire correctly, to communicate to the muscles, all of that. And then to bend your knees and stand up and keep your equilibrium and walk one foot in front of the other, a miracle." In that moment, I realized that worrying about weighing less or getting rid of my stretch marks and wrinkles seemed so trivial and ridiculous. Now, I'm not super proud of acknowledging that I still struggle with body image and that even after having an experience like that, things sometimes still come up for me. But I think it speaks to how large and constant a noise it is in our society. You know, sometimes a perspective shift is all it takes to quiet the noise. That's why I brought my friend Ashley Rose Reeves on the show today. Ashley is a longtime influencer who's devoted her career to helping people view their bodies with more positivity. She's here today to share ideas, thought experiments, techniques, and simple actions you can take to find new appreciation and love for your body without changing a thing about it. In doing so, you may just gain a new perspective that will not only help you to turn down the body image static, but switch the channel altogether. Let me introduce you to Ashley. Ashley started an online presence about 17 years ago, but several years into that journey, everything changed.
I feel like I was fortunate about 8-9 years ago. I kind of just had a shift in perspective and realized the things I was obsessing about weren't actually important. And the things I wanted to focus on as a mother and as a human and a daughter of God really was just cherishing my body, taking care of it well. And it kind of led me down a completely different path, which is what I try to focus on now, which is having a lot of gratitude for our bodies, focusing on the things our bodies can do for us, and feeling a lot of love. And I think loving our bodies looks like caring for them it doesn't mean complete disregard of like, do whatever you want. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Having grace with ourselves and the decisions we make and all that kind of stuff. So I took it to my platform because I felt like it was an important conversation. And I knew that if it was a struggle that I was having, that a lot of other women were too. And you just crack it open a little bit and the floodgates, everyone just comes in and says like, thank you. Like, I understand this. I experienced this. And even so many more beautiful conversations were opened because of it. And so the more I talked about it online, it helped me, but I also feel like it was helping other people. And it's still to this day, I love getting messages. I got one just last week where someone said like, I was going to go swimming with my kids. And then I was super insecure, so I didn't want to, but then I thought about what you'd said. And I realized I didn't want to miss out on this. People still need it. And I even myself, I can get past it a little bit to be like, oh, I think everyone's fine now. Everyone goes to the pool. Everyone does. No one cares about that. It's not true. So there's people, lots of people that are still trying to figure it out. And so I like facilitating the conversation.
What has your journey with body image personally been like?
So I'm 6 feet tall, which you can't see from sitting down or listening to a podcast. But ever since I was young, I was always significantly bigger than people around me. And so I remember in second grade, my teacher at the time was doing a math lesson and we were learning graphs. And she wanted us to go up to the front of the room. We weighed ourselves and measured ourselves and put our dots on the graph. That's like the earliest memory I have, 8 years old, of being like, whoa, my dot is way higher, which, you know, who knows? I'm like 41 at this point. So maybe it was like a pound difference. I don't even know. But at the time, it was significantly higher. And to me, that's the first time I remember feeling really like embarrassed about my body. And I had parents with really great intentions, but also struggled with body image as well at home. So it was just a big topic at our home about being healthy and making sure you're exercising a lot. And like there was a lot of food restriction and stuff like that. And I really love my parents. And I think that they did the best they could with the information they had. But there was just a lot of focus on that growing up. And because I was bigger, I was often bullied and teased for the way I looked. I was kicked out of hot tub parties in high school because I was too big to be there, guy told me. And one time I got passed a note that said some awful things about how ugly I was. So just a lot of that negativity carried into it. So by the time I got to 18, 19, I was 100% positive my body was the worst thing about me. I was so insecure, felt completely worthless, and really felt like I couldn't change it. Also, I felt like I didn't have the tools or the understanding on how to even fix that. So I went to college and still really never had any like proper education around actually how to lose weight. I felt like that's what I needed to, but I didn't know how to do it. I think when you get in those depressive states, at least for me, I just was eating more food and having more unhealthy behaviors. And so by the second year of college, I started reading books. The South Beach Diet book was the book I read. And I just remember being like, oh, protein. Oh, like great, like vegetables. So then it shifted for me and I started learning about it. And I actually liked learning about it. There was something empowering about understanding just how your body works in general. This is kind of how I try to speak to my kids, not attaching food or weight to an aspect of who you are as a person, but just understanding how your body works. Food is fuel. Protein is going to help your muscles. You want to feel strong. You want to be able to have a lot of energy and not have everything be so attached to you look a certain way if you eat a certain way. You know what I mean? Because we know better now. Yeah. Someone could eat garbage and be very, very thin just genetically and vice versa. Someone can eat really healthy. And I experienced that too because I did really eat healthy for a long time and I still was a 6 foot tall, bigger girl. That's just genetically who I am. I'm never going to be a size two. And so that was kind of what my journey looked like. It was just a lot of insecurity, a lot of confusion, and then kind of shifting to more education, more gentle love for my body.
Ashley is in a better place now when it comes to her body image. But as Ashley will tell you, body issues don't go away. They just change.
When I was a young mom, mm-hmm. I remember being at dinner or at the park with my friends and everyone's talking about how they're going to lose the baby weight and what size they're getting down to and their pre-baby jeans and all this stuff. And in my mind, genuinely thinking, oh, eventually this will go away. Like, we're mm-hmm. all going to have our kids whenever. But no, it just shifts. And now we're in our 40s and it's like, oh, everyone's talking about the bleft surgeries and like all the aging things. For women, it's a constant conversation and it's so normalized.
No, the body image noise never turns off. It just changes its pitch. So if the noise is constant, what do we do? Ashley's going to suggest several shifts in perspective that can help us turn away from all that racket.
So I feel like there's a couple different things, but if I had to whittle it down, I think first and foremost is gratitude for our bodies as they are. And we do these gratitude scans that I've talked about online where you just kind of go like head to toe. Don't focus on the things that don't work the way you want them to or look the way you want them to. Like, what is working? And it's different for all of us. We were able to walk up the stairs to get up to the studio today. Like, that is a gift. A lot of people cannot do that. The fact that we can see each other and have this face-to-face conversation, some people can't do that. If your hands can pick up things, there's just different things that we have. And so focusing on the parts of your body that are working, it really is kind of a miracle when you think about bodies in general. Our bodies really just go on autopilot for us for the most part. And that is really, really cool. And so just focusing on those things that just naturally happen that we don't have to micromanage in our bodies. And so I think focusing on that is a really good place to start.
Yeah. I relate to so much of what you're saying. And as my late husband was, his body was deteriorating right before my eyes.
Yeah.
And boy, did anything make me run faster or like just weep with gratitude more.
Yes.
No, really, for my own body. Of like, our bodies are miracles. And I felt the same way too after giving birth.
Yes.
When I give birth, I'd be like, my body created another body? What?
Yes.
This is a miracle. This is amazing. And can feed this other human knows what to do, when.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are different times in your life, I think, that you're able to step back a little bit and be grateful for that. And I think the older that I get, the more I see the power of gratitude. It's not like, be thankful. It is not a side thing. It is the thing. It's the focus.
And you look at people like your husband, you learn so much from these people and the situations they're going through because they have given you a richer understanding because we never know. Any of us could have similar fates. We never know. And
you
so
think
just
you know.
Appreciating what you have right now, because we don't even know tomorrow what it'll look like, you know?
Yeah, and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Do a gratitude scan. There is so much we take for granted. The absence of health can nudge us towards gratitude, but why wait until then? I love Ashley's idea of taking a moment to scan all of the things we have to be thankful for from head to toe. And even when our bodies aren't in their ideal state, we still have so much to celebrate. Another way Ashley has learned to tune out the noise is by reminding herself that time is never guaranteed.
I had a really close family friend pass away from cancer. She had 4 children at the time. And I just was like, this is just awful. And I remember thinking I had wasted so much of my time that really is never guaranteed. We never know how much. Just really hating my body and just feeling a lot of guilt around that. And just watching her experience, I was like, oh, this is really not guaranteed for any of us. And I remember just thinking she would probably switch places with any of us. I'll take that body that's overweight. I'll take that body that can't do X, Y, or Z. I would switch places with any of you guys to be able to still stay here. And I just think about that a lot too. And so I just got really intentional about the kind of content I was consuming, the way I was speaking about my body. I started reading more about the importance of taking care of a body, of course, but how to do it in a way where your focus is on strength and energy and longevity. And it just completely shifted for me.
Because Ashley realizes that a long life isn't a given, she wants to spend her energies wisely.
It's such a distraction to focus on the appearance of our body when we literally have the gift of an actual body, living life. We could do anything we want on this planet, literally anything. We could learn anything, try new skills, spend time with people. We have an infinite number of options. And of all the things we can do with our very precious, undetermined amount of time, we want to spend it hyper-focusing. I read something once that was like, the most selfish thing you can do is obsess about your body. And I thought, yeah, that is true. Can you imagine of all the ways we could be using our emotional energy, giving it all toward looking a certain way? It looks exhausting to me. Exhausting. For my entire life's purpose to be being hot, it looks painful. It looks exhausting. And when we talk about like God giving us value and a purpose on earth, when you have put your entire focus around your appearance and being hot and sexually relevant or attractive or whatever it is, that is going to go away. 100% goes away. So when you are obsessed with it and you're focusing on it and doing all these things chasing this, it's such a sad waste of your time and energy. And you can see it happen in Hollywood, in celebrities, also in people you know. When they chase this obsessively, it's like an empty well. It's a loop-de-loop chase that's never going to end because it's this procedure, it's this thing, it's this thing, it's this, like you go all over the place.
It's a moving target.
It's a never-ending moving target. There is no end in sight. The chase that I want to do is building the kind of life I want with the people that I love, taking care of the body that I have. And that's such a quick, direct, easy, accessible path, and it doesn't expire. When you go to people's funerals, I just went to my aunt's funeral a couple of weeks ago, like no one's talking about the size of jeans she was wearing or how much cellulite she had. It's all about like their connections and their memories. Because at the end, when this is all said and done, the things that matter are building personality traits. That's what's actually going to last. And like I said, people can do whatever they want to look however they want to look. But think about the energy you put toward it. How much of your finite amount of time and energy are you going to put toward this obsession?
And if I may too.
Yeah.
It's not very interesting.
It's not.
To talk about. Like if we're just always just going to sit and talk about.
Like, I don't want to know about your grilled chicken that you ate yesterday. Like, it's things
can
you want to
talk
about.
Something else.
Something real.
Something funny.
If I'm going to get to sit down with any woman in the world, the last thing I care about is that. Yeah, like, what procedure have you done recently? What diet are you on right now? It's not the things that matter. And so I feel like refocusing and shifting and having more authentic, vulnerable conversations is going to serve everyone better in the long run.
Remember that time isn't guaranteed. We get so caught up in wanting to look like others that we often forget that there are people who would literally give anything to trade places with bodies that work, with bodies that can finish raising their children, with bodies that don't have cancer, with bodies who could just sit up. I mean, talk about a perspective shift. And because all of our clocks are ticking, we should spend our time and energy on things that matter. I remember when Christopher was sick and I got really dark and I would say, you know, everybody dies. You know, that happens, right? Yes, I was a joy to be around, but it is true. And I felt, especially after I lost him, this idea that it doesn't matter. Nobody talked about his physique at his funeral. Doesn't matter. People are going to care so much more about how you made them feel than how you looked. Investing in people, investing in relationships, investing in character, that's what actually matters. And that's more interesting to talk about. And invest in healthy living to make the most out of that clock. It's not just a good way to live or a nice idea. It's actually, I believe, the way God wants us to live. It's a better way to honor our bodies and honor our lives and not be distracted by things that have no value. Ashley also suggests we ask ourselves an important question.
I dye my hair. Like, I do things. We all do different things that we like to change.
I know.
Our
I have a lot of potions and serums.
Yes.
I always say.
Oh my gosh.
I love a good potion.
Yes. And so I think like a little self-check is good whenever you're thinking about those kind of decisions. Like, am I doing this because I want to, because I like the way it makes me feel? I like the way it makes me look. Or am I doing this because I feel pressured or I feel like I don't have value as a woman unless I look a certain way or because someone told me that I should look different? Mm. And I think if you feel good about it, I totally support it. And if you're doing it truly for yourself, because it makes you feel better, whatnot, that's different. But there is so much outside pressure and negative noises. So I feel like it's important to kind of just do that little go inward and check on why you do it. Because we all do different things. We all have different things we care about.
Now, I realize that we are all so entrenched in this body-obsessed culture that it may be hard to distinguish whether we're genuinely doing things for ourselves or if we're just buying into that hype. Ashley has a great way to help us tell the difference.
I think the awareness around society's messaging around bodies is really important to have your eyes open to. When you see an ad like on TV, on social media, whatever, just imagine like a man posed that way or a man sitting there with whatever phrases they're putting behind it. Does it look weirder now? And then if it does, yeah, this is probably very targeted to make you feel a certain way. We have more control, I believe, over what we consume on social media than ever before. You can literally unfollow, you can hit not interested, you can hide things, you can mute things. If there is something that you notice is triggering you, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with that person, but it's a good little internal knowing to opt out of it. If there's something that's making you compare yourself to the way other people look, it's just a good thing to just be like, okay, I'm not going to participate in this. I don't want to see this.
Dig down to your why. Ashley doesn't draw a line between what we should and what we shouldn't do. Instead, she says that we should worry more about why we do what we do. And this idea of inserting a man into the ad is genius. If it feels a little ridiculous or weird when a man is at the center of the ad, then that company or product or person is trying to manipulate your idea of what it means to be a woman and where your worth comes from. And you don't have to buy into that. Nope. Change the channel, unfollow, don't buy. It's as easy as that. Another perspective shift that Ashley says can help us appreciate our bodies is to imagine ourselves as 80-year-olds.
I don't know if you've seen the trend recently, but when people say, oh, I'm like 80 years old and I woke up in my 40-year-old body or whatnot, it's such a cool thought shift to think about, okay, if I'm double my life now and I get to come back now today, everything just feels richer and cooler. Like, oh, I get to experience this. And even beyond the way we feel in our bodies, the way we spend our relationships, like how we are spending time with people and the conversations we want to have, it just looks and feels different.
Yeah.
And I think there's lots of downsides about social media, but I think that's one of the coolest things that we participate in as a group is having these thought shifts and perspective shifts. I think have been really a positive experience.
Imagine getting to come back to your current body as an 80-year-old. Now, I'm a long way off from 80, but every morning I have to coax my sore back into motion with some sunrise salutations, downward dog yoga moves to stretch out my hip flexors. Sure, what's it gonna feel like in 3 more decades? Like trying to bend concrete? Or maybe my back will be so fragile that it will have the fortitude of spaghetti noodles? I don't know. Whatever awaits me, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be better than what I have now. So coming back to this current back of mine, yes, please. No complaints. I'm good. Ashley has another tip. It has to do with our speech.
I also feel like talking about your body in a positive way and focusing on longevity, strength, and energy will always, I think, help improve your body image. Because instead of focusing about what you look like or what you don't look like, it's just like, oh, I want to be stronger. I want to live as long as I can. I want to have as much independence for as long as I can. And having your health goals shift toward those are so much more healthy than like, I need to fit in a size 2 jeans or whatever. Right.
This idea of using health goals instead of visual goals is especially important because it will affect our kids and how they see their bodies and their worth.
The best thing we can do is be very aware of how we're talking about our own bodies in front of our kids, because you know they're always listening. So when you're complaining about the way you look, or I don't like the way I look in this dress or this swimsuit or whatnot, the kids pick up on that and they can hear that. And so I think talking positively about your body is contagious for your kids. And then I think giving them that same conversation, because they'll feel frustrated, they'll be, you know, irritated with the ways they look. I know there's a whole rhetoric around like, never tell your daughters they're beautiful or whatever. I think that's crazy. Like, of course I'm going to.
I always feel torn because I'm like, but they are. So
but it's like
I
that
do?
And, right?
I know.
You're so beautiful and you're so kind and you always are such a good friend and you always are so helpful around, like just helping boost up other parts of their confidence too. So it's not all, oh, you're so cute and you're so adorable and you're so beautiful. Because like, of course
it's not always focused
yes,
on that.
But just also complimenting other things. Like, I love the way you problem solve. I love the way that you can figure this out. I love how nice you are. You can also compliment a lot of other things about kids. On my website, I have, and it's a free thing anyone could access, but I have 100 compliments that have nothing to do with appearance, like a little download you can get. But they're just good ideas of things you can compliment your kids on.
Noticing our kids' characters and not just their reflections is a skill we can apply to any interaction.
Really, in general, there's almost never an excuse where you need to be talking about a person's body. You don't need to comment on it, because I feel like we've learned more the older we get. You read stories online all the time where people will say, like, I was so thin and people were constantly telling me how good I looked, but I actually was struggling with an eating disorder. So even if you think someone looks quote unquote good, you can say, I love you. You look happy. Like, you look happy. That's such a good compliment, instead of you look good, like assuming that X means that, you know? And so I just feel like there's really not very many instances where that would be appropriate or necessary. So just looking for other points of contact to talk to people, other conversations, other things you can bring up. Because I feel like in general, commenting on people's bodies, even if you mean well, can often not be received well, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking in terms of health goals and character affirmations instead of visual goals and visual affirmations, this applies when we talk to ourselves, when we talk to our kids, and even when we talk to others. Everyone needs to understand their worth outside of their physical appearance, and shifting our language can help that. Words matter. Ashley says that we should make another shift in focus, and that is celebrating the role of differences.
I also think it's a good conversation to have about how people are supposed to look different. When they're little kids, I feel like especially you can be like, oh, everyone looks different. Some people are taller. Some people are bigger. Some people have this color of skin. Some people have this color of hair. And just embracing the diversity from an early age, because it really would be so confusing. Can you imagine if we all looked the same? What if every mom looked just like me? You would never be able to tell who I am in a crowd. You know, just having those conversations, I think, helps in a lot of different ways. Oh, yeah, everyone's supposed to look different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's confusing now because everyone gets the same procedures and teeth and fillers and all this stuff.
To look the same.
To look the exact same. I'm like, oh no, it's actually kind of cool that we all look different. My daughter was attacked by a dog a few years ago, and she has a couple scars on her face from it. Luckily, I think it'll be okay, but she is starting to get more insecure about it. So just, you know, just like helping her embrace these things, like we're supposed to look different. We all have different things. And that's a really cool story you could tell at some point. And just focusing once again on the good things that her body can do for her and not have everything be so appearance focused.
Three cheers for differences. We should stand out from the crowd. We don't want our kids to look like every other kid. Could you imagine school pickup? And we wouldn't want our own parents to be indistinguishable from every other parent. I mean, I still have childhood trauma from hugging a stranger's legs because I thought he was my dad, right? Come on, you know what that feels like. So why would we ever buy into this idea that we should look the same as other adults? It doesn't make sense. I mean, if nothing else, retain your individuality for the sake of police lineups. This is a safety issue. The final shift Ashley suggests we make, and this may be my favorite because it hits this perimenopausal woman's heart right in the center, is from looking at aging as a punishment to seeing it as a gift.
There was something online that I read. It was information that I absorbed somehow that stuck in my brain about women and menopause that was so cool.
Go on.
Because the most dangerous thing you can do is actually reproduce. To a woman's body, it's the thing most likely to kill you.
Right.
But the fact that men can literally create a child their entire life is one thing. But women, our bodies actually shut down halfway through our life and make it so we cannot do that to preserve our knowledge, to protect the younger generations.
I love this.
Which is so cool.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is the kind of stuff we should be talking about with menopause. Because I was like, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. Like, I don't want to feel this way. And like, you're like a out to pasture or whatever, all the terrible
things
people say.
You're like, no,
I'm
now more relevant than ever.
I'm more relevant. You need me and my
Society
experience.
Society will crumble and fail to function without my knowledge. Okay, I like that.
But
that's my tagline.
It's like biologically, our bodies actually shut down to protect us and preserve us. So for the last half of our lives, we are here to help and teach and protect the people behind us. That is so cool. Imagine if that were the messaging. When you hit 40, things are going to get so good. You don't have to worry about all these things that could kill you. Your body is going to be doing great. And you get to shift your focus to like caring and connecting. That's such a cool different message.
It is.
I just feel like the messaging around aging needs to change a lot. Even someone saying like, oh, it's anti-aging moisturizer. I'm like, I refuse to say that. Like, I'm not going to say that because we all get to age. It's really cool. There obviously are frustrating things as our bodies decline and certain abilities and stuff like that. But it is really cool to take what you've learned throughout your life. And I do feel like the older I get, the more my perspectives have completely shifted.
Yeah.
Aging should be knowledge. It should be learned experiences. It should be helping those around us. It should be like more connection and not just this conversation around like, oh, you're out to pasture. You've lived all you can live and the rest is blah. You know what I mean? There's so much to look forward to.
Choose to see aging as a gift. Biology is trying to help us preserve and share our wisdom. But do we really see menopause that way? Or are we frantically trying to turn back the clock? We're going to miss the miracle of middle age if we think we have nothing left to offer. And since we just did an episode on perimenopause and menopause, this revelation is particularly relevant. I hope you'll not only listen to that show, it's a good one, but that you'll also step into your potential and power as a middle-aged woman. We are the wisdom keepers, ladies. People need us. They don't think they do, but they do. I was already reeling with all of Ashley's great ideas, but then she shared her favorite example of a woman who had a complete body image perspective shift, and it left me in tears. I'll let her tell you the story.
this woman, she messaged me and she said, I always hated my body size. I was bigger. She was tall like me. She's like, I was always tall and big. And I hated that my whole life. I thought it was the worst thing about me. And then she said that she went on to have children and she had a disabled son who required a ton of physical care. And she said, I realized later in life when I had this son, I needed this size of body. If I was small, I never would have been able to lift him, care for him, because he grew to a huge man, you know, who wasn't able to care for himself. And she just said, I am seriously so grateful for my body every morning that I can take care of him. And she's like, I 100% know I wouldn't have been able to do it in a smaller body, but I am strong and big enough that I can do this. And I think about that one a lot because we really never know why. We really never know why we look the way we do. We have the bodies that we have. There is a purpose behind it. I really believe if there's something we are meant to do in our lives, we have the bodies we need to carry us through the thing we need to do. And that can be frustrating when there are disabilities and things that hold us back. But trusting like, okay, I will be able to accomplish the things that I'm supposed to here with the body that I have been given. And there will be things that don't work the way I want them to. But I really believe the more peace you seek for in the kind of body you have, you're going to have more peace in the long run with your life because you'll be like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. I have the body I need for what I need to do here.
I cannot emphasize this enough. I remember working on my core strength after I had babies because my back was always so sore. And I knew that if I built up those muscles and the muscles in my thighs, that I would have less pain. And I really had to let go of trying to be a certain size because really I was just focused on, I just want to move and not be in pain. Shortly after, Christopher's health started deteriorating, but I was able to lift him up, a grown man, and move him. And I couldn't have done that if I wasn't strong and if I hadn't built up those muscles very intentionally. My body was such a gift. I think about that a lot because it wasn't driven by a size or how it looked, but I did it to not be in pain. And then it was able to serve my family in a way that I never imagined. And it reminds me that this is exactly what bodies are for in the first place, to live our lives, to serve others, and to feel and embody joy. But we'll never get there if we don't turn away from all of the body image noise out there. And if you think a healthy body image is a box you can check once and be done, you're wrong. It takes constant and intentional upkeep. So consider utilizing some of the ideas that Ashley shared today to refresh your perspective. Do a gratitude scan of your body. Remember that time isn't guaranteed, so don't waste your time and energy on things that don't matter and won't last. Dig down into your why and don't fall for manipulative advertising. Imagine yourself as an 80-year-old in your current body and bask in what you can do. Speak differently about yourself and others by replacing visual affirmations and visual goals with character affirmations and health goals. Celebrate the importance of differences. And finally, see aging for what it is, a gift. If you'd like to work on these things as individuals or as a family, Ashley has a 10-day workbook that you can print off that will walk you through some exercises to help move you into a healthier body image mindset. And it's free. We'll put a link to that workbook in the show notes. When Ashley and I finished our interview, we took a picture together. In the photo, it's clear that Ashley is tall. I come up to her chin. She has brown hair. I have blonde. I'm wearing a bold shade of lipstick. Ashley's a natural. We look different, very different, but we're both beaming. Our arms are wrapped around each other in a friendly hug. And the best part, the photo is silent. There isn't a note of body image noise to be heard because the camera's perspective is focused on what matters, the love, the respect, and the joy that two women can feel when they spend time with each other.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price, with help from Becca Hurley-Lung, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with music and post-production by Gracie Davis. For more about Ashley and her work, check out her website, ashleyrosereeves.com, or her Instagram, at ashleyrosereeves. Links to those, as well as to Ashley's free body positivity workbook and our newsletter, will be in the show notes. Be sure to check out the Council of Moms, now available wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I would like to introduce you to another gem of a show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, In Good Faith.
Dive into an enriching world of spiritual exploration with Stephen Cap Perry. On each episode of In Good Faith, members of different religions and spiritualities are interviewed to better understand their relationship with the divine. Whether you wish to strengthen your own relationship or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion, In Good Faith is sure to uplift and enrich your life. Listen to In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.